This is a rough test, you know. This is the touchstone of all tests. Who is Jesus? All right, he's the Savior. All right. By the way, all of you, say hi to Mark and Janine Havens in New York.
Hi, Mark.
All right. And they listened to our classes. He said this is the best class in the world. He's listened to all these classes, and he listened to them every day at work. He downloads them on iPod, and I talked to him last night, and he said that he had led one of his co-workers to the Lord. So you pray for Mark as he ministers back there in New York. I have a picture of him. I'm going to put him up on the board up here, he and his family. And anyway, we're in Matthew, the 16th chapter, Matthew 16. Matthew 16, we studied Matthew 16 and 18 last week. The test is, who is the rock?
Jesus.
All right, he is the rock. Who is Jehovah? He is the rock. All right. And is Jesus Jehovah? If you didn't get that one right, you don't get to go to heaven. That's as simple as that. That's very, very, very important. All right. Matthew, the 16th and 18th chapter. We know that the keys of the kingdom were not given to Peter. They were given to the church. All right? The most powerful force in the universe is the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ in this age. That's the greatest authority in heaven and earth, in the whole universe, is the authority God placed in His churches in this age that we have here today. It is not with the President of the United States or Iran or England, well, the Prime Minister or Australia or Africa or North or South Korea or China. The most powerful force in the universe, is the key of David. The key of David. Let's look at that. All right, let's look at that today. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get into that. Brother Art, would you lead us in prayer, brother?
Sure. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so grateful for today, breaking the bread of life. We pray, Father, you be with Jim as he presents your word. I pray that each and every one of us here will receive that word and allow your word to minister to each and every one of us as we get into the book of Matthew. Allow your word just to give us comfort, give us understanding of ourselves, and understanding about tomorrow. We praise you, God, and we love you. We thank you. You are just so awesome in our life. We ask this in your son's name, with Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. This is a large lesson today. I'm going to try to get to it. And Matthew 16 and 18, let's look at that. Let's look at this as now, the Lord, of course, He's performed a lot of miracles. He has proven that He is Jehovah in the flesh to Israel, except Israel has not rejected it. Israel just absolutely is debunked. They have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and King at all. All right? Period. Matthew 16 and 18. Matthew 16 and 18. Now, then he turns to his little church that he's called out by the seashores of Galilee, and he says unto them, who do you say that I am? And Peter jumps up and says, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. You are Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed are you, Simon, son of John. He says that in Aramaic. Simon Barjona. Simon, son of John. Simon means what? That's a Hebrew word. What's Simon? Comes from what word? Hebrew. Hear. All right. One who hears. Flesh and blood do not reveal this to you, but the Father who is in heaven. And I say unto you, you are a little stone, Peter. What is the word Cephas? What is that word? Marilyn, that thing is really loud back there. can you put a muffler on that thing or something? Okay. He said, I say unto you that you are Cephas or Petros. Petros or Cephas. All right. Cephas or Cephas. All right, Cephas means stone. All right, stone in Aramaic. And he said, are Petros. Now, we looked at that last week. Petros means what? A small stone or a pebble. And then we looked at the word Petra. Okay, Petra. What does Petra mean? That is a gigantic rock like the Rock of Gibraltar. How many of you have been to Morro Bay? The big Morro Rock. That's the rock. Okay, that's the kind of rock. The Rock of Moriah, on the mountain of Moriah there, that is a rock on Moriah. All right? By the way, that rock, kids, disturbing the classes on purpose. Need somebody to lasso them and hog time for a little while and slow them down. All right. You're a little stone, but upon this gigantic rock I will be building my church, and the gates of hell, the very gates, the authorities of hell, Satan nor any of his imps will be able to wrestle his church down. Okay? That's a promise. The word Hilkiah, see this word Hilkiah? That's the Hebrew right there, Hilkiah. It means Jehovah protects. All right? And we're going to look at the word Eliakim, God sets up. This is very important. Okay? Very important. And then we look at the word Shebna, which means youth or youthful. And these are some of the scriptures that we're going to go and study, okay? Some of the scriptures we're going to go and study. Verse number 19 now is very important. I will give unto you, and who is he talking there to? The church. Not Peter. He's going to give unto you, the church, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. The keys of the kingdom of heaven. Just think about that. Keys of the kingdom. What is that? The keys of the kingdom of heaven is the most powerful force in the universe. The keys of the kingdom of heaven is the most powerful force in the universe. Now this goes all the way back to Isaiah. And then we're going to look at Isaiah in a few minutes. We're going to look at Revelation also. I hope I set enough cheers out for you on you all. All right? And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you shall have bound, is what it says, whatever you shall have bound on earth shall have been bound, or shall have been having been bound in heaven. Now I'm going to tell you, is that a powerful entity? Just think about that for just a minute. That's a powerful entity. Who has the keys, who has the administration of God's kingdom today on earth? The churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the most powerful entity in the universe. Not Satan. Satan is alive and well, isn't he? All his little imps, we fight them every day. And we know that they will be bothering us. All right? They will be bothering us. But, now let me see if this thing's working. Test?
Yep.
We know that Satan is working, but we know that God is protecting also. We have millions of angels protecting us. And God's church is millions of them. Whatever you will have bound upon earth will having been bound in heaven. And whatever you shall have loosed on earth shall have been bound in heaven. And then verse number 20, and he warned his disciples they should tell no one that he was the Messiah, the Christ. All right, now we went through all through the Bible last week proving who the rock was, didn't we? All through the Bible, the Old and the New Testament. Now let's go to Isaiah 22. Isaiah 22. Isaiah. 22 and verse 12 first. Isaiah 22 and verse 12. Therefore, in the day of the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth, by the way, Jehovah Sabaoth, what's Jehovah Sabaoth? Huh? The Lord of armies, the Lord of hosts, all right, the Lord of hosts, called you weeping and wailing. And verse, now this next verse is going to be quoted in the New Testament and several places in the Bible, but we're going to find, what? We're in Isaiah 22 and verse 12. Therefore, in the day of the Lord, the Lord God of hosts called you weeping and wailing, shaving the head and wearing sackcloth. Instead, there is gaiety and gladness. Now, God told them to weep. All right? He weep. Now, we're going to be introduced into a little bit of pagan culture here. By Shebna. All right? Shebna. Shebna means youthful. And youth. Now, Israel was God's child bride, wasn't she? God raised her up, and this was his bride. This was his child bride. Okay? Shebna stands for Israel, by the way. He said, and Shebna was a materialist. A materialist. What is a materialist? Lay aside everything you can. Just grab and sail around and grab everything you can get. And by the way, according to the world, America is the most materialistic nation in the world. And it always has been. And America wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for what God put here. The natural resources. This would be nothing. This country would never have been anything if it wasn't for the gifts of God. All right? But materialist. Now, old Shebna was a materialist. And the killing of cattle and the slaughtering of sheep in Isaiah 22 and verse 13 and eating of meat and the drinking of wine. And then he said, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And this is quoted in the New Testament, isn't it? Huh? In 1 Corinthians 15:32, it's quoted. Paul quotes it in the New Testament. But where did it come from? Is this a prophecy of God? Is this God-breathed right here? This little phrase? You know where it came from? One of the most materialistic societies in the world at that time. One of the most materialistic societies in the world, Egypt. Egypt would have great big banquets. And they would say, eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And boy, they are reminded of death all the time. In Egypt, Egypt is a nation of what? Tombs. Tombs. In all of these great big banquets, they would bring in a skeleton, a mummy, a human skeleton, and they would set it there and they would pass it in front of all of the guests. This is before you ate now. This is before the party started. They would take this skeleton and they would pass it by everybody for all the guests, and they'll say, see, all of us are brief. All of us are fragile. Our lives are fragile. We are brevity of life. No matter how long you live, life is brief. So eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's a materialistic deal. And that's why Paul quoted it again in the New Testament. But it came from that Egyptian society. Came from that Egyptian society. Hatshepsut was probably the most powerful pharaoh in Egypt, and she was a female pharaoh. And she built many, many monuments. And she died, I think she was about 50-something years old. And one of her half brother that she was married to took over the throne. Later on, there are descendants. Thutmose the third. Thutmose the first was her father, and she was married to Thutmose the second, which was her half brother. And then they had Thutmose the third, which he was pretty young when the other pharaoh died. And she built all kinds of monuments and everything. She was a great warrior king. All kinds of things. And She built many monuments to herself. She built the first tomb in the Valley of the Kings. Did you know that? This is the very first tomb in the Valley of the Kings. Well, she had royal blood in her. Royal blood. They said that the Pharaohs were descendants of the gods. And she had a lot of prophecies showing that she thought that she was the Amon, and all of these had prophesied that she would be the king, the Pharaoh of Upper and Lower Egypt. You know, they used to cross and they had these two things in their arms. One of them was for Upper and one of them was for Lower Egypt. She was the king of Upper and Lower Egypt. Okay? And she had a lot of prophecies. She prophesied and lots of monuments. She had two great big tall granite pillars, pinnacles built. There, one of them still stands. It's the tallest one in Egypt today, still. But either Thutmose III or his son chiseled off all of the inscriptions about her and tried to hide her. They took her mummy and put it in with her wet nurse on the floor without being in the coffin, trying to hide her because they were trying to destroy and obliterate everything about her because she was actually of so-called divine lineage. The pharaohs after her were not. They all came from pharaohs that had people that had married into the pharaohs. See? Well, they find out about 20 or 30 years after she died that they started chiseling these things off and trying to cover up all of her history. And this goes way back before the time of Abraham. This is a long time ago, okay? Gigantic society. That's where this little phrase comes, eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And she threw lots of parties. She tried to please the populace, by the way. She was a popular pharaoh. The popular pharaoh. She wanted to be accepted by the people, the common man. That was very unusual at that time. So she was popular. They finally figured out who she was by having her liver and one molar tooth in a little coffin type thing that was marked with her name on it. And then they found this mummy that they didn't know who in the world it was. And missing was one molar tooth. And they checked the mummy and with all the medical science and everything, and the mummy, this person was Hatshepsut. She was dying of bone cancer at the time. She had diabetes. Really bad. And she had an abscess tooth, and probably pericardia infection had killed her from the abscess teeth. Bad teeth killed more people before 1800 than anything in the world. People pulled her teeth out as fast as they could and got rid of them. You know, well, a lot of people had no teeth, you know, in the early 1900s. They pulled all her teeth out because teeth killed you. Bad teeth. They'd rather not have any teeth. And, of course, when they came out with false teeth after George Washington, you know, he had some of the first false teeth. Of course, the Indians had been doing that in South America for years. I mean, hundreds of years before. Well, that's where this saying came from, was from those. Because they ate, they drank, and they'd be merry because tomorrow we die. And that really meant there's no God. We don't really believe in eternal God at all. Period. Nothing. We don't believe in eternal God. Eat, drink, and tomorrow we die, because there's no future. And of course, the pharaohs, they buried themselves in these big tombs, and they buried their wet nurse with them. That was very important. She was buried with her wet nurse later, but just on the floor, without a coffin or anything. They'd hit her because everything was trying to be destroyed. Verse number 14. But the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth, revealed himself to me. Surely this iniquity shall not be forgiven you. I'm going to do you away. And remember, this man, this big shot, is a type of Israel. Surely this iniquity shall not be forgiven you until you die, says the Lord God of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth. Thus says the Lord God of hosts, come and go to this steward, to Shebna, which means usefulness, in charge of the royal household. What right do you have to be here? And whom do you have here? That you have hewn a tomb for yourself here, and they have hewn a tomb on the height, and that you carve a resting place for yourself in the rock. He said, you're just like those Egyptians. Just like the Egyptians. Brother Bill.
In the Sicardine Bible, that verse 14 has got the best description of that.
Yeah.
It would be okay if I read it.
Well, sure. Come up here, though, Bill. They can't hear you. You have to run up here. It won't get you.
this is got a much better description of what that verse says.
Okay.
Therefore did Jehovah reveal himself in mine ears. Surely there shall be no proprietary covering put over this iniquity for you until you die, saith my master Jehovah of hosts.
Yeah, Jehovah Sabaoth. Thank you, Brother Bill. Behold, the Lord is about to hurl you headlong, old man. He is about to grasp you firmly and roll you up like a ball and throw you into a vast country. There you will die. And you will shame of your master's house. Verse number 19, I will dispose you from your office, and I will put you down from your station, and then it will come about in that day that I will summon my servant Eliakim. 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 All right? Eliakim. That means God sets up. Now let's go. Now, we referred back this from the New Testament, remember? And what was God doing in the New Testament right here at this period of time? He said, I give unto you the keys of the whole universe to this little church. Guess who he's setting aside? He set aside Israel, his youthful bride, and he is setting up the little church. This little church. All right? Who I will set up. And how, what was he going to build that church upon? Peter? No. Upon the rock of Israel, Jehovah. Okay? And I will summon my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. Hilkiah means, by the way, Jehovah protects. Matthew 16 and 18. The gates of hell will not wrestle you down. Will not be able to wrestle you down. All right. And I will clothe him with your tunic, and I will and tie your sash securely about him, and I will entrust you with your authority. And I will become a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, to the house of Judah, and there I will set the key of the house of David on his shoulder. The key of the house of David. The keys of the kingdom. That's what we have in Matthew the 16th, 18. Remember the keys of the kingdom? What you loose upon, what you bind upon earth, will have already been bound in heaven. In other words, God said that I am going to honor whatever you do on earth. I'm going to honor it. That's something. The little church that was called out by the Sea of Galilee is going to bring the greatest authority to this earth because she has the right to preach the gospel of the kingdom. She's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. One who opens, and no one will shut. And when he shuts, no one will open. He said, I will drive a peg in a firm place, and he will become a throne of glory to his father's house. And so will hang him all the glory of his father's house, offspring and issue of all the least, the vessels from the bowls, all the jars. And at that day declares the Lord God of hosts. All right, now let's go to Revelation, the third chapter, and the Revelation, the first chapter. All right. Revelation. Revelation 1 and 8 first. Revelation. What does Revelation mean? Huh?
Unveiling.
The unveiling. The unveiling of what? The unveiling of Jesus Christ as the God of glory. Are you over there, young lady? Gabrielle? Revelation 1 and 8? Are you there? You want to come up here and read that real loud to us? Is that all right? All dressed up like a movie star. All right. Revelation 1 and 8.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God, He who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty, the ruler of all.
All right, the Almighty. What does that mean? What's that? El Shaddai, isn't it? El Shaddai. El Shaddai. Thank you, Gabriel. El Shaddai. The one who is, the one who was, and the one who shall come. Who's that? Is that Jehovah? That's Jesus, isn't it? Jehovah El Shaddai, the God Almighty. That's who He is. Remember I told you this is a really important lesson? If you don't get this figured out, you don't get to go to heaven. This is it. You don't get this one figured out, you don't go to heaven. Alright? Alright. Revelation, the third chapter now. Revelation 3. 3 and verse 7. Let's look at this now. And the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, He who is holy, who is true, and who has the what? The key of David, and what is that? The keys of the kingdom. The key of the universe, people. The most powerful entity in the universe. Now we looked over there in Egypt. They built all kinds of monuments to God, haven't they? All kinds of monuments to God. But I'm going to tell you something. They had paper gods. Jeremiah, the 10th chapter. Go to Jeremiah, the 10th chapter real quick. Jeremiah, chapter 10. Israel had pretty much flopped. And this is beautiful in Hebrew, by the way. I wish you knew Hebrew. Anybody have a Hebrew Bible around here? In your back pocket anywhere? You? Anyone have a Hebrew Bible? This is good. You miss it when you look at it in English. Hear the word which the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. In Jeremiah 1 and 1 it says... Let's look at there real quick. Jeremiah 1 and 1. I'm translating the book of Jeremiah, by the way. This is a very weak translation of it again. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, look at that, of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. The words of Hilkiah, Jeremiah means what? Jeremiah. Jeremiah means whom Jehovah launches forth. That's what Jeremiah means. Who Jehovah launches forth. To whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah the son of Ammon, king of Judah. The word Jehovah. Alright? Word Jehovah. In Hebrew, it looks like this. I know I'm kind of writing all over everything, but you know what this means, don't you, brother? The bar, that means word. And when we come to the name Jehovah in the Old Testament, what do we say? The bar. In the New Testament, and it said the word became flesh. The bar. Now in Hebrew it says, word Jehovah. Jehovah is equal to His word, and His word is equal to Him. Isn't that beautiful? In John 1 and 1, it talks about that the Word is God. The Word kept on being God. He never ceased being God, okay? Let's look at that. Word Jehovah. Jehovah is equal to His Word, and His Word is equal to Him. Jeremiah 1 and 1. And then Jeremiah 10. I need a magnet on that. Eraser. It always falls on the floor. Hear the word which the Lord speaks. Alright, the word of Jehovah. Remember, His word is equal to Him. Hear the word of Jehovah which the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, do not learn the way of the nations. Do not be terrified by the signs of the heavens. And all the nations are terrified by them, for the customs of the peoples are a delusion. Because it is wood cut from the forest, and the work of hands of craftsmen cutting wood, they declare it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers. And it says, so that it will not totter. How many of you know what a scarecrow is? Brother Rex, did you ever see a scarecrow that worked very good?
No.
They're kind of useless, people. People put scarecrows out in their garden. Marilyn, you ever put a scarecrow in your garden?
Yes.
How long did it work?
It just
yeah. Like a scarecrow in a cucumber field. They cannot speak. They must be carried. They cannot walk. They do not fear them, for they cannot do any harm, nor can they do you any good. The world, most of the religious world has paper gods. Paper gods. I'm going to show you some of them real quick. These are gods that won't do you any good at all. Here's the Book of Mormon. Supposedly written by Joseph Smith by inspiration. Here's the Doctrine and Covenants and the Pearl of Great Price. That won't get you to heaven, people. This is delusion. This is a paper god. Here's another one over here. We are very common. We are very much... you know what this says? The Quran. These are supposedly the words of Muhammad the Prophet. That won't get you to heaven. That's a paper god. That's a make-believe god. People, millions of people all over the world trust in this. This is the most precious thing to them. If you were to tear this up or burn it, you would be in national trouble. But it is a paper god. It is a god that cannot protect you. And a god that won't get you to heaven. All right? These are the sacraments of the Catholic Church. The sacraments. And these are the story of the Jesuits. The power and the secrets of the Jesuit priesthood. It's said that they took all the trappings of Judaism and paganism and took them and brought them into the Christian world to show all the glory, the trappings of the world. Brethren, sisters, this is a paper god. The dogmas of the Catholic Church won't get you to heaven. How many of you have seen this little green book? The New World Translations of the Holy Scriptures. Charles Taze Russell and Judge Rutherford and the wonderful missionary society of the Jehovah Witnesses. They take and they worship the Word of God. They worship the Word of God. And they go out and they go from house to house and hand out their booklets. But I'm going to tell you something, that's a paper god. That's just like having a scarecrow religion. Not going to do you any good. If you don't believe in Jehovah and who He is, the real Jehovah, you're not going to get there. Universal theosophy. The science and health and healing. Universal theosophy. That's not going to do you any good. Have you ever heard of Mary Baker Eddy?
Oh, that's Christian science.
Oh, all right. Christian science. It's not Christian and it's not science. This is her book. Science and Health with the Keys to the Scriptures. Mary Baker Eddy. Not going to do you any good, people. Mary Baker Eddy is dead. Jesus is alive. Mary Baker Eddy died. She said she didn't believe in death. She didn't believe in sickness and all this stuff. It didn't do her any good. Paper religion. Scarecrow religion. Let's go back. Now, who has all the power, all the authority, the greatest authority in heaven and earth? Who has the keys of the kingdom? Go back to Revelation, the third chapter now. Revelation, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. To see who we can see. Mormonism paints a religion that is totally diametrically opposed to the Bible. We aren't spirit people that were conceived in heaven by some God and then brought on earth. We aren't reincarnations of them at all. That's confusion. Confusion. It's very hard to lead a Mormon to Christ. Did you know that? Because they don't have any idea who God is. They think they're God. And that He's a little, and the God the Father is just a little bit further ahead of them, and they're going to catch up with Him where He is today, one of these days. Of course, He'll be on ahead of them, you know, and Joseph Smith's way up there. You know, He's Adam, according to him. And He's God. Adam was God. God begat Himself in the Garden of Eden. Well, God did beget Himself. I'm going to tell you something. He made Adam like Him so that Jesus Christ could come into this world and redeem the world and be related to it. But I'm going to tell you something. The Mormon's God and the Bible, the God of the Bible, are two different people. The Mormon's God is a man exalted. Third chapter of the book of Revelation. The angel of the church of Philadelphia write, He who is holy, He who is true, He who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one will open. Do you keep seeing these words, who opens and no one will shut, and shuts and no one will open? In Matthew the 16th chapter, we see the same term over and over again. And He said, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom. That's the universe, people. Who's going to be ruling the universe one of these days? Jesus and His little assembly, His little bride. The whole world. The whole universe. I know your deeds. Behold, I put you before an open door, and no one can shut. Do you see this again? Because you have a little power, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name, behold, I will cause those who of the synagogue of Satan... Who's that talking about? Hold on, brother. There. Who's this synagogue of Satan? Who's the synagogue of Satan? The Jews. The Jews today still do not accept. What are they serving? What are the Jews serving today? A paper god and a scarecrow religion. A paper god. What do they do? If you go to the Wailing Wall, Sister Andino, you've been to the Wailing Wall. Have you seen those Jews take out the Tanakh, the Scriptures? And what do they do with it? They kiss it. Don't kiss the Bible. Kiss the God of the Bible. A paper god. The synagogue of Satan. Boy. Behold, yes.
In verse 8, they're talking about this. He's talking about the saved, right?
The what?
The saved people in verse 8. Is that what I'm...
I know your deed. He's talking to a church, Brother Bill.
Yeah, I know.
A church. This is the letters to churches.
Yeah, I know.
To churches.
But I thought he was talking in verse 8. He looked to me like he was talking to the saved.
I know your deeds, and I put you an open door. This is a church. It said, who is this? This? And the holy angel of the church in Philadelphia, the church in this age. This is the church. All of these are churches. There are seven churches of Asia that he's writing to. These aren't two individuals. These aren't two churches. In all reality, it's basically two individuals in that church that make up the church. Today, we're individuals that make up this church. Okay? The church is not a building. The church is assembly. Okay? Behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and but lie. Who is the spiritual Jew in the world today? Who is the sons of Abraham today? Those that believe. All right? Because I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews but lie, behold, I will make them to bow down at your feet and to know that I have loved you. The church is a twice-blooded people. I've said that before. That one there, well, you've got to study that one for a while. The Lord died for all those that would be saved, didn't He? But He also died especially for what? His church. That's what the Apostle Paul said. Because you have kept my word and my perseverance, I will keep you from the hour of testing of the great tribulation period. That church doesn't have to go through the tribulation period, Bill. Isn't that nice?
Yep.
All right. that hour which is about to come on the whole world to test those who dwell upon the earth. I come quickly, hold fast what you have in order not that you will not take your crown from you. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Think about that, a pillar. A pillar in the temple of my God. And he will not go out anymore, and I will write upon him the name of my God. The name of my God. There was a little word here. That's a very important insignia right there. Kadesh Le Jehovah. Where did that come from? Where did that term come from?
Sanctification.
Yeah. Make holy to sanctify. To the Lord. Sanctified to the Lord. Sanctified to the Lord. Guess who wore that little thing? The high priest of Israel had a little turban on his head. A mitre, whatever you want to call it. And on that was a 24-carat gold plate with a blue ribbon on it. And on that 24-carat gold plate, it said, Kadesh Le Jehovah. Or holiness to the Word, or holiness to the Lord, to Jehovah. Guess who you are? Dikaiosune. Melchizedek meant what? Kadesh. Melchizedek means the King of Righteousness. He was a type of the King of Righteousness. But who is the Queen of Righteousness? Who is the Queen of all eternity? His church. Isn't that something? His bride. Who has the keys of the whole universe today? Isn't that beautiful? The keys of the universe. The keys of the universe. Verse number 13 again, it says, He who has an ear, let him hear what? What the Spirit says to the churches. And then we have down here Laodicea, Laos and Dikia. Comes from two Greek words, Laos and Dikia. What does that mean? Those people that make their own decisions. People justice. Laos, Dikia. What is it, Brother Brad? It meant whatever you remember in the days of the judges, people did what was right in their own eyes. And in the Laodicea church age, people are doing what's right in their own judgment. I'm going to tell you something. The church has a holy calling. And she better remember the holy calling. She better remember the holy calling. You better remember that holy calling. Trying to find where my other notes are. I'm a noted preacher anymore. I can't remember what I'm supposed to say. I don't have my notes. So we do not want to have a paper God or a scarecrow religion, do we? A paper God or a scarecrow religion. Go to the 20th chapter of the Gospel according to John. John, the 20th chapter. Who was John, by the way? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John, the 20th chapter. John, chapter 20. John 20 and verse number 19. If I can ever find it. John 20 and verse 19. Who wants to come up here and read this? Anybody want to come up here and read this?
I'll read it.
Yeah. Jessica? Jessica? Come up here, Jessica. 20 and verse 19.
Wants to put the microphone
voices was loud enough.
All right. Well, it won't pick you up back there. All right. 20 and verse 19.
Okay. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you."
All right. Peace be with you. And read the next verse.
Okay.
All right.
After he said this, he showed them his hands and... No, sorry. After he said this, he showed them his hands and sighed. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord.
All right. Now, here they are. Because here is Jesus. That's good. Okay. All right. And they have seen the Lord, and he's the resurrected Lord in them. And many of them just were scattered after the crucifixion, weren't they? But now he appears to them, and he says, "Peace be to them." And of course, in Hebrew, what would that be?
Shalom.
Shalom. All right. And in Greek, it would be? Irene. Irene. All right, Jessica, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. Verse number 21 now. Jesus said to them, "Again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I send you." Who's he talking to? His church. "I send you. I send you." And when he had said thus, he breathed on them. And he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." What is he talking about? The power of the Holy Spirit. Now, what was going to happen there on the second chapter of the book of Acts? That church is going to be immersed in the Shekinah glory of God to carry out the gospel, to receive the transmitted word that we have today. The church is going to receive the word of God. They're going to carry it out. And verse number 23. Gabriel, you want to come up here and read that one for me? Can you do that? Pay attention to this. This is very important.
Now, having received the Holy Spirit and being led and directed by Him, if you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of anyone, they are retained.
Well, that's powerful, isn't it? Remember I told you today what I say? Your whole eternity, you don't get to go to heaven unless you get this lesson right. Verse number 24. Number 24.
But Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came.
Okay, verse number 25.
So the other disciples kept telling him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hand, do my weight."
I've
turned
this old antique machine over. All right.
Okay. So the other disciples kept telling him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the marks made by the nails and put my finger into the nail prints and put my hand into his side, I will never believe it."
I will not. I refuse to believe. All right. Now, how long did this all take place? Number 26 now, Gabriel.
8 days later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, though they were behind closed doors, and stood among them. And
okay,
said,
now let's hold on right there. Now he's behind closed doors. The house is locked. Joseph, have you ever gone into the house with the doors locked? Have you just gone through it? Have you walked through a wall? Have you walked through a wall, Brother Brett? Anybody here walk through a wall lately without tearing the wall down? Okay, now that's the next story. Without tearing the wall up. The Jesus could. He walked through it without tearing the wall up. Okay? Now, 27 there, Gabriel.
Then he said to Thomas, "Reach out your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not be faithless and incredulous, but stop your unbelief and believe."
All right. Now, thank you very much. Be not unbelieving, but believing. Do you believe in Jesus Christ today? Is He your Savior? Brother Brett?
Yeah.
You needed this lesson today.
Yeah.
You needed this lesson, didn't you? Yeah. And verse number 28. Brother Brett, I want you to grab your Bible. I want you to come up here. I want you to come. They're not going to hear you back there. I'd get Joseph, but I think Joseph would turn red. Well, I was going to get Bonnie, but Bonnie wouldn't come up.
It's only right there. It's your turn, Joe.
28 now.
Okay, Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God."
What does it say there, Brother Bill, in your sacred name Bible? Are you there?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
20 and verse 28.
Thomas answered and said to him, "My Rabbi and my Savior."
All right. And my Jehovah and my Elohim is what it should say. My Jehovah and my Elohim. Is that right? Is he your Jehovah?
Yes.
Absolutely. Thank you, brother.
That's it. Man, I got
you. You get to go to heaven, don't you? You got the keys, even. You're in one of the Lord's churches. Do you see how important church membership is? Huh? That's not salvation now. Church membership isn't salvation. You get saved, and then you get... join the New Testament church. And you're baptized. That high priest, you know, with that deal on the front of his face that says what? Kadesh le Jehovah. What is that? Holiness to the Lord. You need to set your life aside for the Lord in one of His churches. And serve Him. And serve Him. And verse number 30. Brother, what's your name, brother?
Art.
Come up here. You're not afraid of this microphone, are you? Yeah? All right. Verse number 30. Number 30 and 31.
Jesus' disciples saw him do many other miracle signs besides the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and they believing in Him, we shall have life.
Oh, thank you, brother. Amen. That's, what else could you put? How could you finish a lesson better than that? Just look at that now. How could you do? Remember, the most powerful authority in the universe is what? God's New Testament church is in the world today. And you don't want a paper God, and you don't want a scarecrow religion like all of that is. You don't want that. You have that, you don't get to go to heaven. You don't get to go there. You don't get to go past the goal. You're not going to get there. You can serve your life. You can do all in Buddhism. You can do all this stuff. You can go through all rites and mimics and rituals. It's not going to get you there. Many other signs, therefore, Jesus also performed in the presence of the what? What's that word? What is that word in Greek for disciple? Come on. What is it? That's how you translate it. What is it? Mathetes. Habitual learners. These are the church members. All right? That's right. The disciples. And Matthew 28. Let's go look there in Matthew 28. That's the first gospel, isn't it? Matthew, the 28th chapter. I want you to pay attention to what it says here now. In just the last few verses. And Jesus came and spoke to them. Who's He speaking to? The church. And He said, "All authority, all power has been given to me in heaven and upon earth." And it doesn't say go, but it says, after you've been scattered, make mathetes. Make habitual learners. And then what do you do with them? Of all the nations, and then what do? No, you dip them. You dip them. You got to dip them first. That high priest was dipped. He was dipped. When a high priest, when he came to work, he had his working clothes. He had his everyday clothes on. Did you know that? What was he supposed to do when he came to work? When he came? He's supposed to change his clothes and put on his righteous garments and serve. And he was dipped. And he put on his righteous clothes and he served the Lord. God is calling you. Not only to salvation, you need to be saved first. If you're not saved here today, you get to go to hell. You don't get to go to heaven. If you don't know the Lord here, if you haven't accepted Jehovah as your God and your Savior, you don't get to go. But if you have, then you need to surrender your life and put on the garments of righteousness. Look like saved people. Act like saved people. Look different than the world.
Tim?
Yes.
I remember when I was reading about the wash, and they dip them three times when they baptize.
Yeah. They dip them, well, yeah. They dip each Hebrew girl 12 times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, every month. She's baptized 12 times. In Russia, the Russian Orthodox, they, when you baptize her, you're dipped three times. One in the name of the Father, one in the name of the Son, one in the name of the Holy Spirit. At least they got the mode of baptism right. It's dipping. Go out and make disciples of all nations, dipping them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to guard with their lives all that I have commanded you. And lo, what? Hilkiah. Jehovah protects. Do you see how the Bible just ties itself all together? Isn't that a beautiful lesson? It didn't come from me. That came from God. Lo, I am with you. Guard with your lives all things I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of this age. To the end of the church age. The church will not be overpowered. It didn't say the devil won't try, because we fight every day against all of the demons of hell. All the demons of hell. Hannah, do you want to come up and read something? You don't want to read anything? Not going to get you up here today. All right. How about you, Chris? No? Anybody want to read? Anna? No, you don't want to read either? All right, let's say it all together. Ephesians 2 and 8. For in grace ye are... Well, I don't know how to say it in English, okay? I'm doing a Hebrew or Greek translation. For in grace ye are having been saved through faith, and that not out of you, it is a gift of God. Let's do that again. For in grace ye are having been saved through faith, and that faith didn't come out of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. That's it. Thank you for enduring those hard seats. Brother Brett, are you coming up here?
Yeah,
again?
Yeah, me and
Bill. Okay, sit Randino.
Yes. I think that you said before that the church is not the kingdom, but it is the administrator of the kingdom.
That's right. The church is the administrator of the kingdom. The administrator of the kingdom. All right. I should have had you come up here. Administrator of the kingdom. The church is the administrator of the kingdom. Yes, Brother Don.
So when you're saved, you become part of the family of God.
The family of God.
And then
you should surrender yourself for the service.
Into a church.
Uh-huh.
You become the membership
of a local, visible New Testament church which has all the authority. The greatest, most powerful authority in heaven and earth. Isn't that something? That ought to glorify the Lord just a little bit. Brother Brett.
Good lesson, Big Jim.
Thank you.
We call you Big Jim for now on, you know what I mean? Okay, guys, we have some announcements. We have Valley Bank.